The following program is furnished by its producer, host, and sponsors.
WRCR AM 1300 Radio Rockland, and it's streaming live at WRCR.com. I'm your host, registered nurse Barbara Ficarra. Health and 30's website is up and running, so check it out. Go to healthand30.com. That's healthin30.com. You can listen to audio, sign up for free newsletters, get all of the information from all of the shows, and more. Don't forget to check it out. Go to healthand30.com. If you have any comments or questions, email us. Today, Dr. Fred Pescator, nutritional expert and New York Times best-selling author, is back. Dr. Pescator will give you all the secrets to looking good and feeling great. He'll give you the 411. So stay tuned because he'll be up in a minute. Now, since Dr. Pescator is this best-selling author, he has been so generous enough to donate a couple of the books. So all you listeners out there, get ready because the first one to call in will get a free book, The Hamptons Diet or The Hamptons Diet Cookbook. Call in at 845-624-1300. Hi, Dr. Pescator. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
I am great. Thank you so much. You're so very gracious for donating these books today to the listeners, and I appreciate that very much.
Oh, well, absolutely. But, you know, the listeners are going to have to do something for that.
What's that?
It's not just calling in.
Okay. What do they have to do?
I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet. I haven't thought it out just quite yet, but they have to do something. We can't just give it to them just for picking up the phone.
That's true. Actually, there's a caller on the line already, but we're going to let them hold on for a minute or two.
Yeah, let them hold on. They've got to have a, they have to have a question. They have to be at least interested in what we're talking about.
That's true, right. We haven't even started yet. They don't even know exactly what we're going to even talk about.
That's right. So let's get started. What are we talking about?
The Hamptons Diet, The Hamptons Diet Cookbook. I have to tell you, I have The Hamptons Diet Cookbook, and I absolutely love it because it's that whole Mediterranean style.
Well, that's the whole point. I mean, it is. It's getting Americans to learn how to eat in a Mediterranean way, because so many Americans think of the Mediterranean and they think of pizza and pasta, and that's so far from the truth. I mean, that's not how people eat in the Mediterranean. I mean, they eat fresh, local, seasonal seafood and vegetables and things from the farms and healthy fats and oils and nuts and seeds and vegetables and legumes and just all sorts of good foods. And Americans think pizza, pasta.
Exactly. I know I've said this before, but when we were in Italy, actually, that's exactly what it is. And even when you drive on the roads there and you stop to get something to eat at their gas station there, the food is exactly what you just said. It's all healthy, fresh foods.
And they sell wine at those gas stations. I really like that part of it.
It's great. And their all their vinegars and their oils and everything. It's really nice.
Well, it is. I mean, and it's a far cry from the way Americans eat. I mean, when you stop at the road stand at a rest stop here along any national highway here in America, what do you get? Fast food. You get junk food.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just not the same. It's not the same mentality. We think totally differently about food, and I think the Hamptons Diet was meant to just sort of say, you know what, folks, we don't need fads. We don't need gimmicks. You know, I'd worked with the ultimate fad diet doctor, Dr. Atkins. I worked with him for 5 years. Not that he was a fad, but his diet certainly was a big fad.
Right.
But it was, you know, again, it's one of those, okay, now we can't eat carbohydrates. Now it's okay to eat carbohydrates, so now we can't eat fat. Okay, now we can't eat fat. What can we eat next?
Right.
And Americans really get off on that. They really like that. They like the whole demonization of one food and deification of another food. You know, that's something they can really sort of understand and get, and I get that, because it's really easy, right? Tell me what to eat and tell me what I can't eat, and it's very simple. But the Hamptons Diet goes a little bit further than that and sort of tells you what you really should be eating and what is really healthy and how to sort of eat all of those foods. So you can have complex grains, you can have fruits and vegetables, you can have everything that's in the food groups except the things that are really bad for you, like sugar and white flour. And I don't think there's a doctor in the world, let me put it this way, a nutritionally oriented doctor in the world who believes that sugar and simple carbohydrates are good for you.
Yeah, exactly. And the sugar, though, I know we've spoken this about this a couple weeks ago when you were on talking about the allergies and asthma, the integrative approach to that. But sugar is in, you walk down that cereal aisle, and that's all that's in the cereals today when you go to a regular kind of supermarket.
Well, if you don't shop the perimeter of the supermarket, you're going to get sugar. You have to shop the perimeter. And that's where you're going to find all the good fresh food. That's where the meats are. That's where the vegetables are and the fruits and all of that stuff. It's all along the perimeter. That's where they tend to keep all the fresh food. And then it's all the packaged foods and it's all the boxed foods. And everything has sugar in it. And even, you know, there's so many foods that have sugar in it that the federal government says we don't even have to say have sugar in it. Like salt and things like that. So it's really important that we learn to recognize that white foods and white pasta and white pretzels are just not healthy. And to this day, I've been talking about this for years now, and I guess it has been. It's been 12 years I've been talking about this. People still think low-fat is the way to go. And it's just not really, I think, it's healthy fat, not low-fat or high-fat. It's choose the healthy fats.
Right. And I noticed, too, actually, in your cookbook, though, too, the Hampton's Diet Cookbook, you do mention a lot in the recipes, I mean, not a lot, but in a lot of, well, in some of the recipes, you're using heavy cream.
Right.
And so it's not where you're totally going on a diet where you can't eat anything. You have incorporated everything healthy into the meal plans.
Well, what I tried to do was create a diet that was fun, create a diet where you didn't feel like you were starving all the time, and create a diet that efficiently sped up your metabolism so that you didn't have to worry about going to the gym. Not that I think you shouldn't go to the gym. I think going to the gym and exercising is really important. But I've worked with overweight people long enough to know that when you tell them, okay, I'm taking away all of your favorite foods and I want you to go to the worst place on earth that you hate, it really discourages people. It's really sort of a real big turnoff for people. So I sort of tried to devise a diet that would speed up the metabolism for you. And that's what the Hampton's Diet does. And the Hampton's Diet Cookbook teaches you in really very simple terms how to cook this way. Because most of the recipes in that book, you can cook quicker than you could pick up the phone and call to order in a pizza.
Right. And the ingredients are all healthy, and it's so simple. And I have to let you know, when is your show going to come up? I could definitely see this cookbook on one of those cooking shows.
I would love to have that happen. So,
what's that?
I would love to see that happen.
It definitely should, because a lot of those shows that you see on the cooking channels, they're just filled with so much oils and butters and stuff that's not really so healthy for you. But if you have quick recipes, as you mentioned in the book, less than 30 minutes and healthy foods, why not have that?
Well, I think it's the Americans' preoccupation with sort of, they equate diet with carrot sticks and with celery and with things that just don't taste good. But, you know, when you look in my recipe book, the Hampton's Diet Cookbook, you see buckwheat crepes with mascarpone cheese and strawberries. I mean, that's completely decadent. I mean,
exactly,
what's dietetic about that? Yet you're getting a whole grain, you're getting fruit, and you're getting good fat in one simple meal, you know, in your breakfast. So you're getting everything you need that's going to get your metabolism speeding and working and going. So that's sort of the foods that are in there. I mean, foods that are really, I mean, there are bacon and egg and cheese muffins in there.
Right.
I mean, who doesn't want that?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, these are foods that are just sort of meant to just get your metabolism going and to get people excited about food, to get people excited about cooking.
Right. So when you get the call that you're going to do the show, remember me, so I'll be your co-host on the cooking show.
Absolutely, absolutely. As soon as I hear from them. Next
exactly.
week I'm supposed to hear from them, so we will see.
Right.
And hopefully that'll work out. So who's our first caller?
I'm not sure.
Do we have anybody?
We do, but actually Blaze, who's working the phones here, is not in the room with me. She stepped out.
Uh-oh.
Oh, there she is.
So we'll have to wait for Blaze to come
Blaze.
Back.
Here's Blaze. Hi, Blaze. Two callers. Okay, well, we're taking the first one first. Hello, caller, you're on WRCR with Dr. Fred Pescatore.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm really interested in the book, but I also have a question. Is the raw sugar any better than, say, the regular sugar cane, whatever they call sugar?
Well, good. That's a good question, because I think that's a question that's very confusing for a lot of people. Raw sugar is certainly better, because they haven't bleached it.
Right.
But you know, because white sugar is just, all it is bleached. And that's why it gets, that's why it's so white like that. Sugar does not come out white like that. It has to be bleached. So raw sugar is better because it's not bleached, but it's not any better for your metabolism. Your body, our bodies metabolize every sugar identically. So it really doesn't matter whether it's raw sugar, white sugar, brown sugar, cane sugar, molasses, honey, all of that stuff. It's all metabolized by the body in the same way. That's why it's so important that all forms of sugar, when you're trying to lose weight, be kept to a minimum, because we've found so many ways of disguising sugar, from high fructose corn syrup to maltose to maltodextrin to, I think there's about 30 different ways of disguising sugar. But you do bring up an excellent question, because people always say, well, it's especially when it comes to fruit sugar, well, it's natural. And I all I can say is that, well, so is sugar cane. Sugar cane's natural. It grows out of the ground. It couldn't be any more of a natural product, but it's just unhealthy. So that's a good question, and guess what? I think she wins the book.
You do, and thank you very much,
Chief,
for hosting.
Thank you so much.
If you could hold on just for another minute, Blaze will actually get your number, and we can either call you back, or if you give her your address, we can get your information in the mail, the book out to you.
Terrific. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye now.
Dr. Pescatore, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, no, the second caller, we're going to wait, right? Do you want to wait or take this call?
Oh, we can take this, but this caller will not qualify for the free book.
Okay,
no. Maybe she will or he will. Who knows?
Okay,
Let's see
what the question is.
Who knows?
Hi, you're on WRCR and Health in 30. I'm Barbara, and you're talking with Dr. Fred Pescatore.
Yes, very interesting. I listened to you last time as well. Actually, I teach a cooking class for children. I'm trying to introduce a lot of the healthy substitutes and reading labels and all the... you know, things when you don't see a saturated fat, but it really, they really are in there. But my question actually is, how much sugar is too much sugar? Like when you look at a yogurt, it says 21 grams.
That's too much.
Right. So what is not too much? And also, are sugar substitutes healthy for you? Because I find they irritate my stomach.
Well, let me tell you, my very first book is a book you should probably have. Mm-hmm. It's called Feed Your Kids Well. And it's a book on how to get kids to learn how to eat nutritionally, and there's about 100 recipes in there and all sorts of things. So I think you'll really enjoy that book. So you can teach the kids because that was my first passion, actually, is to get kids to eat well, because I was a fat, overweight, unhealthy kid,
right.
And I never wanted that to happen to anybody else again, because it was horrible. So sugar substitutes, I think, are probably worse than sugar itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're chemicals. B, we know that aspartame has over 10,000 reported cases around the world of brain and neurologic dysfunction associated with it. 10,000. Yet aspartame is still allowed to be on the market. Splenda. Splenda is chlorinated sugar. Chlorine is a known carcinogen. I would never put that in my body, and I certainly would never put that in the body of a child. When you get to other substitutes, like something like stevia, which is all natural, Lohan fruit, which is all natural, those are fine because they're non-nutritive, they're natural sweeteners, so I don't consider them artificial. I just consider them actually a good form of a sweetener.
Right, because I tend to either, like when I read a recipe, cut it down as much as I can or even eliminate it if possible.
Absolutely. I tend to eliminate it because sometimes you need a little bit because mm-hmm. that creates the mouthfeel to the recipe. That creates some of the thickness. But you can use other ingredients to get that. But when you're looking at my rule of thumb for sugar is you've got to look at the amount of sugar to the amount of dietary fiber. And if there's 21 grams of sugar and 1 gram of dietary fiber, you're out of luck. That's
right,
bad.
Right, right.
But if you've got like anything like a 5-to-1 ratio, it's sort of, I think, okay. You know, so if there's 5 grams of sugar and 1 gram of dietary fiber, not bad.
That's very interesting. By the way, before Barbara mentioned about being co-host, I was going to ask you to be the co-host, so I could be the substitute co-host.
Oh, we can have a cook-off.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Thank you so Bye-bye. Much for calling.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Caller one, you're still on the line, and I apologize, but Blaze, if she gets you on the line now, Dr. Pescatore will be hung up on. So if you could just email the station here, WRCR.com, and leave your information. We'll get it. I'll give you a call back. Just leave your phone number as well. I hope you can hear me. Dr. Pescatore, are you there?
I can certainly hear you.
Our station here, we just have a phone, and it's we're working with what we have. So if she can email us, that would be a good thing.
That'd be good.
Okay. Back to the book. I just want to mention about how you have the food pyramids. Because you break it down into carbohydrates. You break that into a food pyramid. You break down the vegetables into one. But I just want to ask you, I didn't even realize that some of the vegetables are so starchy that you have listed. You have peas. Oh, hello? We cut Dr. Pescatore off.
If you didn't like me, you could have just said...
Oh, there you are. Did we cut you off?
You could have just said so. You didn't have to hang up on me.
I'm so sorry. Blaze, what are you doing? I'm blaming Blaze.
Don't blame Blaze.
On the phone. I'm so sorry. Did you hear... Were you able to hear what I...
No, I heard nothing.
Oh, you did.
I got cut off right at the beginning.
I'm sorry about that. Okay. I was mentioning about the food pyramids, how you have them broken up differently. You have one just for carbohydrates and that contain vegetables and...
Right, one for fruit. Because I think people forget that that carbohydrates are fruits, carbohydrates are vegetables, and that carbohydrates are not just bread. And that's why there's five different food pyramids in there, because one food pyramid cannot possibly tell us how to eat because there's way too many foods. So a lot of my patients, listeners and book readers all like to take the pyramids, and they actually sort of make them small so that they can go grocery shopping with them, they can take them to restaurants, because basically what it does is it just tells you these are the things that you can eat, and these are the things you shouldn't eat, and it just goes. The bottom of the pyramid you can eat more of, and to the top of the pyramid where you should sort of avoid. And you can't do it in one, because fats is a huge category. Vegetables are a huge category. Because so many Americans, what do they think of vegetables? What's the number one vegetable in America?
The number one?
Yeah.
Broccoli? Now, corn probably, right?
Well, that's the second. The number one vegetable in America is potato.
Oh, potato,
and
right.
It's not even a vegetable.
Right.
And do you know what form it is? What's the favorite form of potato in America?
Mashed?
French fries.
Oh, French fries, right. Oh, gosh, I got everything wrong.
That's because you don't think like that.
French fries, you're right. Yeah.
But yeah, that's the scary part of how we eat in America, and then we wonder why we're fat and overweight and don't feel well all the time.
But I didn't even realize peas, though, are a starchy vegetable.
Well, they're a legume. They're actually a legume. And beets are really primarily filled with sugar. So you have to be really, so not all vegetables are created equal, just like not all fruits are created equal. Tropical fruits are very, very high in sugar. One banana has 6 teaspoons of sugar.
6 teaspoons?
6 teaspoons, one banana. That's why it's America's favorite fruit.
Right. A lot of potassium, though, right?
Oh, yeah, right. There you go. That's how I'll justify my 6 teaspoons of sugar, so I can get 4 milligrams of potassium in there. You know, I mean, that's the real beauty of how Americans delude themselves into how they eat and how they don't eat. But I think it's really important that we do realize that within food groups, there are better fruits, there are better vegetables. Not, I hate to use the word better, healthier.
Right.
Healthier choices to make, and that's what it's really all about. It's all about teaching. It's all about teaching people which are the healthier food choices to make and making them accessible to people. And I think what most Americans don't realize is that we have a government that's set up that subsidizes cheap food. So it subsidizes wheat. It subsidizes corn. It subsidizes sugar. So it subsidizes all the wrong industries. So instead of subsidizing organic farming, it subsidizes sugar, corn, and wheat, which are the things that lead to diabetes, heart disease, obesity, arthritis, cancer, all of those things. And we know that to be true. Yet I'll give you a perfect example. And if I'm talking too much, just tell me to shut up.
No, go ahead.
But I'll give you a perfect example. In England, what they did was that the English government decided that because so many people wanted organic foods, they'd start subsidizing organic farming. Well, In 1 year, the use of organic foods increased by 40%, and the prices came down 30%. That was in 1 year.
Wow.
So it's pretty amazing what a little government incentive can do for people, especially farmers, especially that whole thing. And it's just, it's really unfortunate that we don't live in a time where nutrition is appreciated appropriately. But one day we will.
Right.
With people like you getting the message out there and all of that stuff.
Well, I want to ask you about grains, though, because you say it with wheat, it has to say whole wheat, and if it doesn't say whole in the ingredients, it's not good? Is that right?
In the ingredient list. See, here's another one of our government's little tricks, is that it can say whole wheat bread on the package.
Right.
And not be whole wheat bread.
And not be whole wheat bread.
No, you've got to look at the ingredient list, and the ingredient list has to say whole wheat, whole rye, whole oat, whatever. But the word whole has to be in front of that. Otherwise, you're just getting brown bread.
Now, how could they do that, though? Why would they be allowed to put it on the label and not have it in the ingredients?
Because it's run by different lawmakers. It's different lobbyists. You see, all of these large food manufacturing companies lobby the government to say what they can say on the label. So you could say one thing on the label, but in the ingredients list is where the truth is. So you always have to look for the ingredients list. Like, they could say no sugar, right?
Right.
In a product. But there can be high fructose corn syrup in it. There can be agave fruit nectar. There can be maltodextrin. There can be maltose. There can be fructose. There can be all sorts of things.
Right.
But there's no sugar.
So that's why people need to read the labels.
So that's why people have to read the ingredients.
Yeah, and the ingredients, I mean, not the labels.
Because it's really, really important. And people don't understand that because they just read the big print, which is what these big companies want you to do, and then they don't read the finer print, and so it's all guidelines. It's all what you can do and what you can't do, and it's how these companies lobby the government. That's why trans fats, you know, everybody's hearing about the whole big thing about trans fats. We've known for 30 years that trans fats cause heart disease, but we haven't done anything about it until now.
Right.
And still, the government, I mean, these big companies are still lobbying to get the trans fat laws changed. So you can have up to a half a gram of trans fat per serving, and it can still say zero on the nutritional facts. Still say zero, even though it's up to half a gram per serving. So you decrease the serving size, but people still use the same amount, just like that 20-ounce Coke. That 20-ounce Coke is a 2.5 servings. So you're getting like 54 grams of sugar in a 20-ounce Coke.
Oh,
and who thinks of a 20-ounce Coke as 2.5 servings?
Right.
People use that, they drink that, you know, while they're working at their computer. I mean, I could go on and on and on with all of these types of stories because there's so many of them.
I think you should get into politics now, and that's going to, you know, you'll have your cooking show, then get into politics. Come on.
You know what? Food politics really is it's very interesting to me because it's so fascinating the way, I mean, the stories I could tell you about how canola oil came on the market. Canola oil never tested on human beings, ever. It's just $50 million passed hands from one government to another, and it was allowed to be put, you know, in our food supply, generally recognized as safe. The rise of canola oil parallels completely the rise of obesity in this country. Is there a correlation? I don't know. But has anybody ever studied it or looked at it? Stevia, a perfectly natural product, never used all around the world. The United States government will not allow it in the food supply. And that's because Monsanto owned aspartame, which was and now Johnson & Johnson owns Splenda. So we're never going to get stevia in food products.
Oh, these conglomerates, I guess, are just taking over.
Well, I mean, they have taken over. I mean, they generally rule. I'll give a perfect example. When they were doing the food pyramid,
right.
I worked with the FDA to do a little bit of work on defining low carb and all of that stuff. And when they're doing the food pyramid, you go to the food pyramid meetings, there's not one single scientist or physician at those meetings. It's all representatives of General Mills and Kraft and Walmart and lobbyists for the Beef Council and the Egg Council and Dairy Council and all that stuff.
And they have no background in medicine or health and anything?
Nothing? It's all about who lobbies the hardest to get their product put in, you know, the first. And here, now Walmart's going into organics, Target's going into organic foods, and you know what they're doing? They're lobbying the government to lower the organic standards so that they can still have cheaper products in there and still compete on the marketplace, in the organic marketplace. But the products won't really be organic. But they'll be able to say they are because that's a labeling law. But what this has to do with the Hamptons diet, I don't know.
Well, it does because the Hamptons diet is just healthy foods.
That's right.
You're not going to go crazy trying to go food shopping to cook something healthy and simple because, it's the ingredients that are listed in here are what you can get.
What you can, and it's simple. I mean, if you buy foods that are just real, you never have to worry about anything I'm talking about. Foods that are actually really real, like buy an eggplant, buy almonds. You can buy these things.
And the macadamia nut oil, though, I know that you're a big proponent of that because it cooks, when you heat it, it has a better burning point, right?
That's correct.
It's
got a high smoke point, so you can cook with it. You cannot cook with olive oil, and that's a big fallacy.
Well, on those cooking shows, they do. They put olive oil, but then they put like a pound of butter in it so it doesn't burn.
The smoke point, right.
Right,
exactly.
See? That's why you need your show.
From your lips to God's ears, but we'll see what happens. But it's true, and that's the whole. And you don't have to do that with macadamia nut oil because macadamia nut oil actually is very buttery, so it's got such a lovely texture and stuff. And people can I give them a website? Macadamia nut oil.
Yeah,
they can go to macnutoil.com. One word: macnut oil.
Okay,
and this way they can find out information about it and all sorts of things because there's a lot of good information out there. There's a lot of good health information out there. And the Hamptons diet tells you about every cooking oil, tells you about every fat that's out there, sort of explains the whole omega-6, omega-3 thing, omega-9 thing, explains it all in, I think, pretty good detail. And then the cookbook just sort of puts it all together and gives you lots of pretty pictures and sort of says, okay, now do it.
Right.
Now cook.
Yeah, it
Don't
makes it so easy.
Don't be afraid of the kitchen. Go in there.
Exactly. The omega-6, is that flaxseed? Is that omega-3?
Flaxseed is vegetarian omega-3.
Omega-3. And is that the same as salmon, omega-3?
Well, no, it's different.
Oh, it's different.
Because vegetarian and flaxseed omega-3 is ALA, and salmon omega-3 is EPA and DHA. And the body uses EPA and DHA, but not ALA. So people who take flaxseed for their omega-3s need to have an enzyme called delta-D6 saturase to convert ALA to EPA and DHA. So that's why I usually... And the enzyme decreases as we get older. So I usually tell people you're better off with fish oils unless you're a strict vegan and you'll only do it by flaxseed. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, omega-6s are the unhealthy oils. That's the polyunsaturated ones. That's the grapeseed oil. Everybody thinks grapeseed oil is so healthy, but it's not. It's got 72% omega-6 fatty acids in it. Any time you go to a restaurant, you're going to be getting an omega-6 oil because they're cheap. Corn oil is all omega-6. Crisco is all saturated fat.
Right.
And I don't think many people use Crisco anymore.
Crisco, yeah, I hope not.
Well, it still makes an excellent, excellent pie crust. But that's okay.
Well, the music is playing, so you know what it means now, right?
It's time to go away?
Yes, and it went so quickly. I'm going to have you come back another time.
Or you need an hour show.
I do. See that? Helping 30 times, too.
Yeah, there you go. Well, thanks again.
You're welcome. Thank you. And your website, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, they could reach you, right?
HamptonsDiet.com.
Okay, HamptonsDiet.com. Great. And all the information will be on the Health30.com website, too, if you need it. But go to HamptonsDiet.com. Dr. Fred Pescador, thank you so very much.
And thank you, Barbara. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. And the callers, if you're still listening, the ones who get the books, if you could just somehow call back so I could get your information. Thanks so much. Have a great week. I'm Barbara Ficarra for Health in 30 on WRCR. Bye.
AM 1300, WRCR, Spring Valley. USA Radio Network News, Dennis Martin reporting. The suspect wanted for the murder of a Florida sheriff's deputy and the wounding of another was killed today after a round-the-clock manhunt. Sheriff Grady Judd says searchers came upon Angelo Freeland hiding under a fallen oak tree.
One of the SWAT team members reached down to grab a shirt and pull it out as the others were demanding to see his hands. He raised his right hand and had a firearm in it. And when he did that, that was the last thing he ever did.
Sheriff says they found drug transaction records in Freeland's car. A 15-year-old Wisconsin high school student allegedly shot his principal today. Sheriff's Captain Richard Meister says it happened after a school custodian took a shotgun away from the boy.
Principal John Klang approached the student, who proceeded to display a handgun and shot.